Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, the question that begs to be asked and demands to be answered today, are we perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ when we say that abortion is murder and that abortion should be illegal, that abortion should be that which is recognized as what it is murder and ought not to be allowed in America today? Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Scarborough, the now theologian-in-chief with the Marxist media, MSNBC, says that it is perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ for all those that are Christians, those that are pro-life, that say that abortion is murder. He says that that is wrong, that we've made the error, that he's read the Bible. And besides reading the Bible, he is a backslidden Southern Baptist, his words, not mine. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me just go back to the fact that we need to understand that abortion is murder, and the Bible is very clear in the Old Testament text. Some refer to it as the Ten Commandments. Others refer to the totality of the Old Testament as the Torah. In fact, one writer says America is founded on the Torah. America is founded on the Torah. America is founded on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that Christians in particular get back to the scripture and stop seeking truth from the Marxist media and the so-called self-proclaimed theologians as Joe Scarborough. I believe we have Raymond on the line. Raymond, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Good morning or afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. Thanks for having me.
Good morning.
Me on.
I hope you're well. Good afternoon.
Great. Yes, sir. Good to be on with you. Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. I know that you're kind enough to let me pop in and make certain announcements and your listeners aware of some things. And I want to be brief because I'm a little off topic. But if I may make an urgent plea, an announcement of something just
right
kind of came up last week, and I didn't get a chance to call you offline and talk about it. But I want to make sure your listeners know an urgent plea to reach out to the school board today. There is a school board meeting that is tonight. It's usually would have been last week, but they delayed it with Labor Day. But there is an agenda item on the school board that is called the Supplemental Health Education Materials. This is item number 19 on tonight's school board meeting. It is a group called Health Smart ETR. ETR is just another company of Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is writing and producing and providing these curriculum materials to school districts. And they are voting to adopt this tonight. And the books are great, wonderful conservative school board member Charlotte Joyce, who's put the word out about this. She has warned us about what's going on. And this particular, she had the books that were middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. I don't even think I can say the things on the air. I'd be tempted to, but for safety reasons, I won't repeat the things on the air. It is so hardcore pornographic of the education that these middle schoolers were learning of sexual actions and things that I won't repeat. It was to the point that the moms and some of these Moms for Liberties actually had found that the school board had ordered wooden props of the male anatomy for middle schoolers to learn to put condoms on. That's the only thing I'll say. I'll have to leave it at that. It is literally that pornographic to say. So please reach out to the school board today. And if you can, show up today around 4:30. The meeting starts at 6. I know there'll be a lot of these Moms for Liberty and county citizens defending freedom and different conservative groups there. And so please do reach out to the school board. Go to the Duval County School Board website to get some more information. I've actually posted this information on your Facebook page, Let's Face the Issues. Feel free to go there and look at that. And I appreciate you letting me get the word out today, Dr.
Well, Raymond, hang on for just a moment. Let's have a little dialogue on that. First of all, let me say to our listeners, it's what is taking place with our school board is because we have a worthless, may I repeat that, superintendent of schools. Dr. Amen. Green is the one that's happened to push it. Dr. Green is the one that's embraced the sodomite couple that's the head of the Vistar banking system here in Jacksonville. That's two men married. They've adopted a son. They've donated $7 million to the school board in order to push the sodomite agenda, the LGBTQ agenda. And now part and parcel of that, I'm sure, comes out of the abortion, the murder situation, the murder mill that's called Planned Parenthood. And what they're wanting to do is destroy the lives and the hearts and the minds, the morals, the ethics, and the values of our sons and daughters and our grandkids in the school. I've called on this broadcast before, I've called for the parents to demand that Dr. Green resign or be fired. This is just part and parcel of it. But Raymond, I've got a question. How many? And I know the answers. I want you to share them with with our listeners. How many school board members do we have today on the school board?
Seven.
How many of those are conservative? How many of those would you consider conservative?
Right. So one conservative at this exact moment. And in November, thankfully, one positive outcome of the August primary, we did fire and replace one of the very liberal school board members. So in November, April Carney will then be sworn in as the new school board member. So we will have a total of two out of seven conservatives. But the crazy thing is there is actually – now, they consider school board – and I know we've discussed this, but to remind your listeners, school board is considered, quote, nonpartisan. And when they appear on the ballot, that you know, you don't see that school board candidate is a Republican or a Democrat. However, you can look up and find what they are, obviously. They're technically on the books. There are more Republicans – registered Republicans on the school board, or there will be when April joins, April Carney, then there are Democrats. But they still vote incredibly liberal, leftist, ungodly, and immoral.
Well, one of the things, and I'll cover that more and more during the course of the days before us, leading up to the election, but out of the millions of Christians in America, a major, major percentage, I believe the Barna Report showed something like 40% of the Christians never vote. And yet we're concerned about morals and ethics and values, supposedly. And I call and I challenge on the heels of what you've said, I challenge our listeners, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. Overwhelm the school board meeting tonight with your presence, demanding that this agenda of murder by way of abortion and the sodomite agenda that's being pushed now by the superintendent of schools, Dr. Green, and the liberals on the school board that demand that it cease and desist, demand. In fact, my second recommendation, Raymond, is to every parent, to every grandparent, to every concerned citizen, pull your child out of the garbage pit called the public school system.
Amen.
Teach them at home, put them in Christian schools, put them in a private school, put them in some learning center where they can be taught morals and ethics and values, and where reading, writing, and arithmetic, as I called it, the three R's, as it used to be called less than 100 years ago, can once again be taught to our students. Our students today in the public school system are being brainwashed and sexualized as never before in the history of the public school system. And we need to put a stop to it. And the best way to do it is simply to fire the school board superintendent of schools and to remove the students from the public school system that's destroying the morals and the ethics and the values. Everything that we find in the public school system today, Raymond, and for our listeners to understand, is against faith, against family, and against our freedoms. It has nothing to do with the chief honchos in the school board and across the nation with the school public school system. Their agenda has nothing to do with, education of our sons and our daughters. So, Raymond, you're exactly right. Give the time and date again, the location, time and location for the school board meeting.
All right. So downtown, I don't have the address in front of me, but the downtown school board meeting down at the on the river, and that is the meeting starts at 6. We're trying to get folks there at 4:30. One of the organizations will be there by 4:30 and actually provide free Chick-fil-A sandwiches because they're going to be there during dinner hour. This is, again, agenda item 19. It is the supplemental health education material that's being voted on, and this is Planned Parenthood. Extremely pornographic, sex ed for middle schoolers to be discussing stuff that you would find in, the most hardcore porn of the old time, you know.
Well, Raymond, thank you so much for jumping in the midst of the broadcast and announcing this for our listeners. And I call the attention to our listeners for this and ask them to be actively involved, to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen at the meeting this afternoon at the school board. Raymond, thank you so much, and we'll be praying for that meeting. And God bless you for calling.
God bless you.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the perverting of the gospel. Are we perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ when we stand for issues that, as we just spoke of? Are we perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ when we stand against anything that's going to destroy the morals and the ethics and the values of our sons and daughters in the public school arena? Are we perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ when we say that abortion is murder and the Bible is very clear, thou shalt not kill? In fact, ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that all of our laws in America are fundamentally, foundationally, fountain-headed out of the Ten Commandments? For example, thou shalt not kill. This is the reason if a person kills somebody, they're tried for murder. And at one time, you'd be tried for murder. If you're found guilty, you're put to death. And we're finding the bleeding heart liberals, now that's in control of our judiciary system in America, they're deciding that putting a person to death that's committed murder is cruel and harsh treatment, and therefore not sentencing them to die. But nevertheless, our laws come out of, fountainheaded out of, the Ten Commandments, or as it is called, and going back to the Old Testament, as one writer called it, America is founded on the Torah. This writer says, the ideals for leaders in America include, the most people, that they should be accomplished, love, truth, and not obsessed with money. Those ideas can be found one way or another in the nation's founding documents, and even further back than that, in the Magna Carta of King John, from which many of our founding principles of the United States have come. That's why those have been criticizing a statement by Laurie Cardoza Moore, whose lead proclaiming justice in the nation organization perhaps should take a look at history. Further, it states, her statement was that our nation was founded on the Torah. That would be what God commands to the ancient Israelites of the Old Testament. But that was too much for the leftists and the right to watch. Then further, this article states, Cardoza Moore was talking with Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida in the efforts to make school teachings in the state more accurate in its history. In civics, she said, the Florida students, the Hebrew Bible, they will learn about the role that the Hebrews Bible played in the founding of our nation. They will learn about the role that the Hebrew Bible played in the drafting of our founding documents. They will learn about the role that the Hebrew Bible played in our structure, our government, our nation was founded on the Hebrew scripture. She points out that history is replete with evidence of the influence of the Old Testament as well as the later Christian Bible, as she calls it, on the development of nations. It's not well known, however, because Americans are illiterate biblically. This is my point. Americans are illiterate biblically, which most lacking any biblical knowledge or understanding of the founding of the United States. The reality is, we do not teach this to our children anymore, but the evidence is there in stone. The U.S. Supreme Court building, as well as the U.S. House of Representatives, both have engravings featuring Moses giving the law, the Ten Commandments, and that is what we find today as the fundamental elemental aspects of anything that's called the rule of law in our great nation today. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not seen as such today. This is the reason people like Joe Scarborough will stand up and try to flap his lips and say that somehow, some way, that we're the bad guys, we're perverting the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, go back to the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. This is the reason the laws are on the books, not being enforced today for the most part, but you're not to walk into a place and just steal whatever you want. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That is, you're not to lie on the witness stand in relationship to a court case or something against somebody. You're not to stand up and tell a lie. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And at one time, that was viewed as being a very serious matter. But in the moral, ethical values that's declining in America, it's not found anymore to be factual and or enforceable. I'm looking at an article. It says, what a lie. Franklin Graham reacts to the shocking pastoral survey, lambasts false teachings, leading people and churches astray. Ladies and gentlemen, this is frightening when we understand it. One of our callers a moment ago, I believe it was Tom, that said something about the problem we're faced with is as a result of the pulpits and the pastors. Franklin Graham is dealing with that issue in this article. Evangelist Franklin Graham reacted this week to shocking survey data showing more than one-third, hear me, more than one-third of senior pastors purportedly believe good people can earn their way to heaven, with Graham lambasting some of the findings as false teachings. Quote, I don't know which 1,000 pastors this group surveyed, but the results are concerning. Graham tweeted Monday, 39%. Hear these numbers, ladies and gentlemen. Then we can understand better why we're seeing the moral decline, the moral decay, the moral cesspool in America today. As Raymond was just speaking about the meeting with the school board this evening, where they're introducing material that, if approved, will further sexualize and pervert and brainwash our sons and daughters in school. Franklin Graham said Monday, 39% of evangelicals, this is his response to the survey, 39% of evangelical pastors, the pastors that they asked, said that there's no absolute moral truth. Hear me, 39% of the pastors that were surveyed said there's no moral, ethical truth. Each individual must determine their own truth, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a fallacy. That's an absolute false statement. It's an impossibility. And Franklin Graham added the footnote to that. What a lie, end quote. Graham's strongly worded response came after pastoral survey results were published by the American Worldwide Inventory on an annual report from the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University. That's part of the Barner Survey Group, George Barner. At least one-third of the respondents said they believe that the Holy Spirit isn't a person at all, and is instead only a symbol of God's power, a symbol of God's presence, a symbol of God's purity, which at least the same proportion preferring the same proportion, ladies and gentlemen, of these pastors making these statements, the same proportion preferring socialism over capitalism. And one-third of the pastors also believe having faith matters more than which faith you may have. In other words, you can have faith in anything. Adolf Hitler had faith, but it was foundational in the wrong thing. And we find today, ladies and gentlemen, it's a perversion of the gospel, and yet we have Joe Scarborough, the theologian-in-chief with MSNBC Marxist Media, that's wanting to be the one that has the final say-so. In this article from Franklin Graham, perhaps more stunning, though, is the 39% figure Graham cited, as that's the percentage of evangelical pastors who reject the idea of absolute morality and believe individuals get to determine their own truth, end quote. The survey also said that 30% of evangelical pastors do not believe that their salvation is based on having confessed their sins and accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior, end quote. He continued in another tweet, "This kind of false teaching is what is leading people and churches astray today," end quote. Graham concluded his tweet on the matter by a passionate defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's what Graham said, and I'm seconding the motion, if you please. "The Bible is God's word from cover to cover," he wrote. "It is absolute truth. It is what counts and not someone's opinion," end quote. I believe I have Greg on the line. Greg, go over to the question or comment, please.
You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer called things like this cheap grace.
Yes.
You got folks today that scream, "Oh, you're being legalistic. You know, judge not lest you be judged." You know, and they have no earthly clue what the text says because they're biblically ignorant.
Right.
They're biblically ignorant. You have individuals that that think it's okay. You know, we can worship God anywhere. We don't need to go to church. We can live however we want to because it's all under God's grace. You know, they ignore all the scriptures that conflict with their ideology. Or they will, you know, willfully ignore, what's the difference between ignorance and apathy? You know, they willfully ignore or they're completely apathetic to the authority. You know, they either don't know or they don't care what God's word has to say. And we have a culture that's steeped in that. They have no earthly clue the charge that the scripture has in each one of these matters. And, you know, it goes back and to between, you know, a sloppy agape, and I think that's what my brother called that, sloppy. You know, you're so hung up on God's love, you forget about all the rest, so it's a sloppy agape, mm-hmm. Or the cheap grace of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And sadly, many pulpits have fallen in line with this these false doctrines. And you either have churches that are disintegrating or churches that are teaching false doctrines, and many times they disintegrate after they've ballooned to massive numbers because, you know, they're teaching to people that have itching ears. And people love to hear that, hey, you know, you can do anything you want. You can run around and hit the clubs and jump from bed to bed and this and that and the other. And it's all good. You know, God will forgive everything. Just keep living life the way you want to. But if you're truly a believer, God's changed your want to. If the Holy Spirit resides, you're going to be perpetually under, the restrictions, if you will. The Lord, through the Holy Spirit, will give you discernment. You'll go, you know what? This is just wrong. I can't do this. I mean, I've seen new believers that don't know a single word of the scripture other than the death, the burial, and the resurrection. They don't know a single word. And there's a compass that they have in their life, in their heart, that prohibits them, prevents them from stepping on things that are just are going down paths that are just utterly destructive and sinful and indecent. How in the world Joe Scarborough spent more than 5 minutes in any Southern Baptist church? Well, I do know how, because you have a lot of Southern Baptist churches that are teaching absolute rubbish from the pulpits. All of these things begin right. with a degradation within the pulpit. Do you agree?
Absolutely. That is the danger of what we see taking place today. As I've said before many, many, many times down through the years on this broadcast and from the pulpit in the church, we have spineless preachers standing in the pulpits afraid of losing members. They're afraid, and they're preaching based on numbers, nickels, and noses to appease the populace, to embrace the LGBTQ, the CRT, and the sodomite agenda in general, and the abortion industry, in order to keep from offending those that are in the pew that have embraced statements coming from people like Joe Scarborough. Greg, I'm looking at an article that says, "Fight, contend, and do battle. For those who are still asleep, decades ago, war was declared on Christianity, our Constitution, Christians, and the citizens of this nation. It is a war that Christians in America have not shown up for. When apostasy rises, when false teachers emerge, when the truth of God is attacked, it is time to fight and contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. As a watchman of God, I challenge every Christian, every citizen, to contend not only for our faith, but our Constitution and the rights that have been given to us by God." And he quotes Jude 4. He says, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for their condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only God, Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ." That's Jude 4. Further, and I'll read just one other paragraph and let you respond. He says the real danger, false teachers have crept not only into the church of the living God, but the news media also. And their false teachers are now spewing their lies, their deception, their evil ideology across this nation 24/7. Too many of our false pastors are turning God's grace into unbounded license to do as they please. In America today, we're dealing with an unbelieving America, a church system that has embraced religion, have forsaken the living God. Here's the key. America is now committing more sin than Sodom and Gomorrah, end quote. Further, this article states, unless we repent and change our wicked ways in America, we will be more tolerable. It will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for America. We've been blessed more than any nation, but look at us now, end quote. It is a sad commentary, Greg, but how do you respond to that? What's the admonition that we should do as a takeaway of what we're saying in relationship to the moral ethics and the values being denigrated, degraded, and destroyed in America?
Once a culture abandons the authority of Scripture, abandons God's claim on each of our lives, they begin a downward spiral. Horace Greeley once wrote, "It is impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible-reading people." You know, Congress early on in 1777, they commissioned the work, actually supported the work of a Bible printing, the printing of the Bible within the colonies, within this new American experiment. The Constitution had not even been, you know, formulated yet, much less ratified, much less the Bill of Rights. And here they were endorsing this printing of the Scriptures because they wanted the Scriptures to be in as many hands as possible. Now, keep in mind, before that, you had kind of the official press of England, the Royal Press of England. And during this conflict, you know, they were pretty well shut off from the importation of Bibles. Why was it so important then? And today it's completely ignored because the leftist ideology cannot allow for a supreme authority. You see that in cultures around the world. Communism cannot tolerate any authority other than the state. The state must be the apex. The state must be the supreme authority. I mean, that's why they don't just lock up Christians. They lock up Uyghurs and they lock up this and that, the other group within China. Because anything that accepts or acknowledges a higher power than the state is considered dangerous in their culture. Understand, by abandoning this, we really began down this course in 62 and 63 with Ingalls versus Vital and Abington Township v. Shemp. And we began to kick God out of the public spaces, particularly the classroom. Where the classroom for 400 years in America had primary textbooks, we called them the Bible and Webster's Primer, or Primer. Open up Webster's Primer, P-R-I-M-E-R. Open that up and see the lessons that were there. That was
absolutely.
That was sufficient. That was sufficient for that, 350 years, and then we abandoned that.
We need to get back to the Word today. Greg, thank you so much for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the air. Looking forward to meeting you once again as we face the issues.
Logical University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.